the theme today. And if you're not into bashing down gallery walls and hurling jam sandwiches, try this for size instead.
Oh, that's a piece of history. A real one. A real Andy Warhol soup can.
More on both of those in a moment. We'll also be meeting a snail protesting in the streets of the Swiss capital. Welcome to Swiss Info's weekly news programme. Today is June the 17th. Thanks for joining us. I'm Julia Slater in Bern. Before we get into the culture, some good news, I think, for bear lovers. If you want to see the cute little cubs in Bern's Bear Park, don't leave it too long. They aren't so little anymore, and at some point even their mother Björk will stop thinking them cute and want them out. That could have been very bad news. Bern Zoo, which is responsible for the city's bears, caused a furore last year by warning that Ursina and Berna might have to be culled when Björk rejected them. But all is well. It's just been announced that a home has been found for them in a reserve for bears in Romania. They'll move there sometime before next spring. The world's biggest art show, which attracts tens of thousands of visitors, opened in Basel on June the 14th. Here's Jessica Dacey with more details.
Art Basel, now in its 42nd year, brings together 300 leading galleries from all over the world and 2,500 artists, ranging from great masters of modern art to the latest generation of emerging stars. That may seem a lot, but competition for space is great. The privileged few who do manage to exhibit their work pay a high price. A small stand and 5 days' expenses can reportedly set you back 100,000 Swiss francs, and sales are not guaranteed. Michael Vessa, a Basel-based American artist who has worked for the Warhol Foundation, gave SwissInfo.ch his take on this year's show.
I think it's good. It's the big galleries and the heavy hitters brought their best works here. There's some really high-quality, almost museum pieces around. Now, that's a piece of history. A real one. A real Andy Warhol soup can. In great condition.
Art Basel is also a place for spotting rare works, such as that of German-American artist Eva Hesse, precursor of conceptual art in the mid-1960s.
This is a 1967 Eva Hesse. I've never seen that piece. I've never seen a piece like that. I would say that's a museum piece. I would say that's probably $500,000. She was one of the first, almost precursor to all the conceptual work and process art that was going on back in up to the 70s, mid-60s. She was working with fiberglass and industrial materials. It's a shame that you don't see more of her work. That's why I'm making a big deal out of this, because you don't see much of it in the big art fairs. She didn't do that much of it, but it was really important. You think you know all about it, and you just go, oh, another Eva Hesse thing. But when you actually see it and you associate that with the date, it's phenomenal.
But one of the biggest draws of Art Basel is Art Unlimited, a space where 50 ambitious works go on display, many of them created especially for this show. They range from large-scale pieces to video projections, wall paintings, and performances. Mexican artist Minera Cuevas was one of the artists on show. Her work featured rare footage of the resistance, which is part of her ongoing social and political research.
I think for this kind of video, you really need to, or you feel you can't stay there and absorb all this energy also, not only of the political demonstrations, but all the creativity around cultural projects and underground music in Mexico.
A glimpse there at Art Basel. Barbara Strabel helped compile that report. You're listening to Swiss Info's weekly news programme. And now for that snail. On June the 14th, it was exactly 30 years since Switzerland added an article about equal rights for men and women to its constitution. It was exactly 20 years that 500,000 Swiss women went on strike to call for those rights to be implemented. And this week, women were in the streets again with the same demand. I asked some of the protesters in Bern why they felt the need to demonstrate 20 years on. Bettina Bauwalder of the VPOD union, which represents workers in the public services, summed it up succinctly.
We wanted to remember this day and to say that we are not there where we want to be.
The snail long ago became a familiar image in the fight for equality. A mixed group from the Young Alternative Movement had made one and were pulling it around town, for the same reason that their mothers did.
The snail symbolizes a sort of slow process which the fight for equal rights for men and women has been, which means it's something is happening, but it's happening much too slowly. Of course, you know, it's progress, but we want more. We want something faster than a snail.
That was Robin Zurbrugg. And he had a suggestion why things move so slowly. It's as much to do with human nature as it is to do with Switzerland.
Well, something new comes along. People will say, wait, what about this and what about that? And shouldn't we sort of criticize this? But when something's always been that way, no one's going to really... So they think, well, it's traditional. Everyone has sort of conservatism inside of them where they don't even realize that, wait a second, I could say something here. Maybe this isn't right. And it takes a lot more to change already existing institution than it is to criticize a new one.
And it's not a generational thing, as his colleague Alicia Galizia explained.
Girls in my age, I think, my parents or my mother, for her, it wasn't easy, but for me now it's all is okay, and we solved all our problems, and men are and women are equal, but they don't get that it isn't like that. There are lots of inequalities, and they don't see it, and I think this is a big problem that we have now.
Those two were aged about 20. I also spoke to one of the older participants, Marie-Louise Barben, now 73, who 20 years ago worked in the newly established Bern Cantonal Equality Office.
20 years ago, this was a big event, and it was something like a fight that women could take part during the day to go to the strike of women for equal pay and rights for women. And today is a reminder. It's not the same thing, but I see that there are not so many women here, but the women here are young. It's not only the oldies who come in remembrance of 20 years ago.
One young woman I spoke to in a way epitomised the way things have changed and the way they stay the same. Rosina Ebneter and a couple of colleagues were painting placards calling for things like equal pay and toilet facilities for women on building sites. She's a skilled plasterer. Why not?
I like it to work in a construction. I can make it with my hands, something, and I see on the evening what I make it.
But she's still a woman in a man's world. One of the placards was about harassment. Were the worst offenders young men or older ones, I asked her.
Mainly the young ones. With the young ones, sometimes you find that they don't understand the limits. And the older ones might think, women? What are they doing on a building site? But there are younger and older men who don't have a problem with us at all. They respect us and we respect them and everything is absolutely fine.
Ebneter may have felt more confident speaking to me in German, but she'll need to be practicing her English soon. In October, she's off to London to compete with the world's best plasterers. She's already the Swiss champion. As she told me with a smile, there were 10 plasterers up for the title, 8 men and 2 women. She was first, the other woman second. Did she say something about respect? And now some more art. The Under Destruction exhibition at the Swiss Institute in New York has been exploring the impact of Swiss artist Jean Tinguely, who died in 1991. It coincided with the 50th anniversary of Tinguely's elaborate contraption, Homage to New York, billed at the time as a machine that destroys itself. Tinguely created kinetic art, moving machines made from scraps of metal, wood and other materials, many of which destroyed themselves. The curators of the New York show brought together the work of 20 contemporary artists to look at the meaning of destruction. It was the perfect antidote to busy New York life, as Karen Camp reports.
Had Jean Tinguely visited the Swiss Institute to see this show celebrating his work, it probably would have made him smile. It's violent, noisy, and a little nerve-wracking, a bit like Homage to New York, the one-off self-destructing machine he presented at the Museum of Modern Art Sculpture Garden in 1960. Tinguely's contraption featured an upright piano, a go-kart, a bathtub, plenty of hammers and saws, and 80 bicycle wheels, much of it picked from New Jersey garbage dumps. Gianni Yetzer is a curator of the show.
One of the most famous artworks created by Swiss artists in New York City is this Homage to New York, and it's probably one of the greatest pieces Jean Tinguely has done. He kind of liked distraction as a spectacle and as something loud and something extreme.
Tinguely presented his work during the nuclear arms race, an era fueled by fears of world destruction. Drawing inspiration from the events around him, he became a pioneering spirit in the creative potential of destruction in art. For the Swiss Institute show, Yetzer and co-curator Chris Sharp brought together the work of several contemporary artists to look at what destruction means today. Yetzer explains a piece by the American artist Liz Lerner called Corner Basher.
It's a pole, a rotating pole that you can activate as visitor, and you can trash the wall of the gallery with this huge machine. It's maybe also the only piece that has something like an institutional critique, because you can really destroy the institution.
The medieval-looking contraption swings a ball and chain into a corner of the gallery, and visitors can control the pace of the bashing with a speed dial. A visitor gives it a go.
Yeah, I think my immediate instinct was to turn it back down, and it's pretty nice though. Once I was like, all right, I get to smash the wall.
It seems that stressed-out New Yorkers like to destroy gallery walls, and the repeated merciless bashing has already left huge gaping holes, littering the gallery floor with sheetrock. Another artwork that's causing the garbage to pile up is by German artist Johannes Vogel. His machine is a long inclined conveyor belt driven by an electric motor. Slices of bread are fed onto the belt and jam shoots out on top of the bread. After journeying upwards, the sweet breads spring from the top, flying briefly in the air before dropping onto a pile that is steadily growing on the ground below. Gallery manager Clement Delapine says that destructive art is no picnic, and the bread and jam machine is jamming, and not in a good way.
This machine is a German machine, so it has been built with German standards, including the bread. And the problem we have here in America is that the slices of bread are way bigger and they don't fit in the charger, so we had to source out a very specific bread. I mean, this was supposed to be a really, really cheap machine, and at the end, we are really using like fancy bread and fancy jam, and we made it almost a gastronomic machinery.
And tasty for the mice, too. Each night, Delapine covers the growing pile of suicidal bread to keep rodents from nibbling on the art. And then there's the appallingly loud video installation by British-based artist Christian Markley. The film documents the journey of a Fender Stratocaster electric guitar tied to the back of a truck. Linked to an amplifier, the guitar is dragged through the streets at high speed to the point of total destruction. On its way, it creates an ear-splitting form of loud music, composed by the act of destruction itself.
Karen Camp was having fun there at the Destructive Art Exhibition in New York. And that's all for this week. For news about Switzerland, have a look at our website, www.swissinfo.ch. And tune in again next week. Thanks for listening. I'm Julia Slater.